And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 1 on through verse 5 in the NLT, if you could pull that up real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 in the New Living Translation. And I want you to see this because I really feel like it fits in with what I've got to say tonight. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. You know, I was sitting with a brother today and I said, you know, my life has changed. What I've seen happen is worse now than when I was 30 years old. It's changed. It's last time event changed. And it's not changed for the better. But listen to what it says here. Very difficult times will come. I think in the last 5 years, we've seen some very difficult times come, not only in America, not only in Logan County, but all over the world. I'm speaking specifically about that COVID event that affected everybody. People all over the world relapsed when that happened, all over. People are dead. People are dead so close that I could name names. It wouldn't be respectable of people that I knew, young people that passed away. So I believe this for people. And then it doesn't talk about earthquakes, fires, floodings. It talks about people, the condition of the hearts of people. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. Man, with that, never seen it as bad. They will be disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless, puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from those people. I believe this is a time to pick your friends and acquaintances and people that you're going to talk with if you want to go on with God. Does anybody else seeing the world change like that? Amen. We are. And so it's awful. It's terrible. But these things must take place to get to where we really want to be, which is the second coming of Christ on this earth, the setting up of the millennial reign, so on and so forth. But world, and then the rest of that title is, I'm talking about your world. You know, everybody in this room, God has given you your own specific, detailed world. And nobody's world in here is exactly the same. Can you see where I'm getting at? You see how I can see that? God has a plan for each of our life. And in each of that life, he has a world for us, each one of us. And it's our world. And it's the world that we're responsible for. Having said that, fellas, put up Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming his word with signs following. Confirming his word. We know this man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Born again man, saved man. Please understand this. One of the signs that you are a believer is that you partake of the word of God, and the word comes out of you, and you know the word good enough to begin to fashion your life according to the word of God. And the Lord, they went everywhere. The Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We could mistakenly think that that was only given to the, that commandment was only given to the first disciples, which nothing could be farther from the truth. It's for all of us. It's for everybody that's a disciple. And the goal of every person on this earth is to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what the word says. Put up, if you would please, John 8, 31 and 32, and we'll see that right there. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. Not if you do everything right. See, that's not going to happen. We're made in the image of God, but we're fallen. We're part of what is fallen. We're born lost. We're born in need of a Savior. So if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And that means is, Those are the ones that are really born again, that in the judgment they will enter into the kingdom of God. They will enter into heaven. You are saved indeed. That means for sure. Okay? And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. My generation was big on freedom. They asked Janis Joplin, What do you think that they're looking for when they listen to your records and everything, Janice? He said, well, they're looking for truth, and they want to be free. And that's what we were all about, my generation, was to be free. And we didn't feel like we were free. And so we took it from there. So think about that with me and the truth of it. A person that is born again is a person that continues in the word of the Lord. They start out, as Peter said, earnestly desire the first fruits of the milk of the word, the colostrum of the word. Some of you ladies might know what colostrum is, maybe more than the men. It's the first milk that has all the vitamins and everything in it. Earnestly desire and partake in the first fruits of the word, that you might grow, so that you can grow. Think about that. And my thought tonight, I'm preaching a thought, go and change the world. Go and change your world. You have a world, a realm, a geographic of responsibility that God has given each and every one of you. And none of us in here, it's not the same for any one of us. It's different for all of us. And that's it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's nothing to be afraid of or to bite your nails over. You've got, you know what? God loves you so much. How many of you have asked Christ to come into your life by the raising of your hand? If your hand's not up, that means you haven't asked him. Okay. Most of the people in this room. And God not only loves you, but he has provided for you unmistakably just for you. And he's given you a world, your own world, your own space, your own life. In that world, no matter what you've been told, well, it was his time to die. You know, the word says this, some men won't live out half of their days. Speaking of others, and I'm not just, when I say men, I mean individuals, men and women. Some will have years added to their life. So, now, I'm not going to apologize in God's behalf for this, but God knows who's going to serve him and who's not going to serve him. And he knows by what the choices you're going to make how long you're going to live. Now, is there a time limit? You know, there are three individuals left that in, I believe it was 1921 in Oklahoma, there was a mass slaughter of minorities there. And there's three people left alive, and they're all over 100 years old in a lawsuit and against the perpetrators. It was the state of Oklahoma, and the state of Oklahoma just said, no, we're not going to honor that. We're not going to. But man's days, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, shall be 120 years. People don't, if they live any past that, not many do. Not many can hardly get to 100. Why? I don't know. You know, things just happen. But first of all, I think everybody in here should believe God for 120 years. Unless, how many of you don't want to live very long? How many of you like to live as long as you can? Yes. And me too. I'm with that crowd. That's the in crowd. Now, so let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Once again, the King James language. I want you to hear this and perceive this. What I'm trying to say is God has given you a world, and God is asking you and prompting you to go change the world he's given you for the better, because there's people in your world. How many of you know folks that's lost? Amen. How many of you know people that are saved? Yes. Amen. Now, the people that are lost, he wants you to change them. Now, how can you change them? Well, Paul said this that will give you a little insight. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Now, you may not do the whole thing. You may not find somebody and get them saved, but you may find somebody and plant a seed in their heart and help them along, and then somebody else might harvest that what you already started with them. But God wants each and every one of us here to go and change our individual world. Does anybody have a question about what I'm talking about when I say each one of you have your own world? Does everybody understand that thought? That's a pretty good thought, and a pretty easy thought. All right. You are the light of the world. How do you change the world? Be the light of the world. Be the light. More than ever before, I'm thinking there are places that I used to do business and that I have conflict with a certain individual or so that I don't want to go there anymore, because I don't want to, as the word says, as far as it concerns you, be at peace with everybody. And if I have to change a place that I go to do some trading to make that happen, I can see more than ever I need to do that. I need to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So let's finish that. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. And then it says this here. This is a daily thing. This is how God wants you to live in your world and how he wants me to live in the world that he's given me. It says right here, this is one thing that believers that are right on do. let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And when it says all the world, there's lots of worlds out there. When you're gone, your world is gone. He won't give it to somebody else. I can say this here. There might be some people in the world that you had that other people have in their world, and that's possible at all times. But God knows, and this is how he's going to look at our lives, and this is how you look at people. You will know them by the fruit that they bear. If people are trying to let their light shine and trying to avoid conflict and they're continuing in God's word, those are three things that I mentioned so far, that's what God's going to look at. Oh, but Lord, what about doing miracles? Well, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this, many shall say in that day, Lord, we prophesied and we cast out devils, and he mentions spiritual things. And Jesus will say to some of those, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. He didn't say because you made mistakes. See, look here. If you're breathing, you're going to make mistakes. You don't have to make them every day, but we do. We have a nature that's not taken out of us yet. It's the sin nature. It's still there. Even after we're born again, it's still there. And what we have to do is realize that and do the best we can. That is what communion is all about. Communion is for believers to take a look at their life and realize this is an opportunity. Communion is to a believer what an oil change is to a car. It's maintenance for your life, that you don't just go on and on and on and things pile up and pile up and pile up. That should not be. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm preaching a message. Go and change your world, not the world. See, God's not expecting you to do something where you don't have any influence. But there is certain people that God has given you, and they know you, and you have influence one way or another in their life, and you can do some good in their life, if you will. And as I'm sharing this message, just think in your heart, who could that be in my life? And, well, just think about it. You did say, some of you know people that are not born again, right? That's where you want to continue in the word and let them see that. You want to let your light shine to those people. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll talk in tongues like a house of fire. Does anybody's Bible read like that? Religion emphasizes things that are not as important to God as the things that he calls out and names in Scripture. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and it'll make you and enable you to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, even Logan County, Arkansas. Amen? We've got work to do. How many of you in your world, you've got people that you could have a greater impression on? I know I do. I'm trying. I try to preach words where God is affecting me and things are affecting me. Now, I'm doing real good on the time, so. Oh, All of you that love summer and it's your favorite time of the year, well, bless your little old darling. How I don't understand you, but I'm going along with it. I don't want to exit out. I just don't. How many of you like fall? Spring. Maybe even the first couple of snowfalls of winter. How many of you, your least favorite time of the year is time like this right now? Oh, my God. How many of you, this is your favorite time of the year? Okay, I can relate. I can relate. It takes all kinds. If we all like fall, there might not be enough fall to share with everybody. Man, there was about five people in here. They raised their hand. They love this. And I can see that. I can understand that. I'm preaching a message, and the go is coming from God. God is saying to each of us, go change your world. Go change the world I gave you, that I put you in, with the people that you know, with the situation that you know. I called my best man last night, Bob. He lives in Nevada. And 2 years ago, he lost his wife. And he's taken that very, very hard. And I notice I've been reluctant to call him because, well, for one thing, I didn't know if he what might be passed away. And another thing, I know that he's taken it very hard. But, you know, I owned up to that, and I called him. And Millie and I both talked with Bob last night, and I talked to him for over an hour. And he was so glad to hear from me. And he said, you know, I said, but you know, you can call me anytime. He said, well, you know, I don't have your phone number. So I thought his phone might be like mine. You can just get it up on the phone. But I gave him my phone number, and I told him, you call me anytime that you want to. He's part of my world. He has been for many, many years. So let's be thinking about changing our world as we go to let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 12, and I'm going to show you something very personal and inspirational. And you have to understand, we don't see this much in the world as we should. We see it a little bit. But John 14, 12, this is Jesus talking to disciples. How many in this room would consider yourself a disciple? Yeah, you're trying to follow the Lord. You're trying to follow him closely. Yes. All right. Now, here's what your Savior and my Savior said. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to be with my Father. The very act. We have an advocate, a close advocate that died for us in the throne room of heaven right next to his Father. And he said this. I mean, this is hard to just say, that's not for me. I don't know. If you're born again, the Lord says to us, if you're born again, you believe on Jesus. He said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, to some, he's going to say, I don't want to confuse you. It's just in there. Many will say to me that day, you know, we did this, we did that. We cast out devils. We did this. And he said, the difference was, you didn't know me. You didn't know me. You didn't have a rapport with me. You didn't wake up and try to get my direction for your life every day. Where am I supposed to be? You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Every morning, Millie and I say, every morning, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Because I trust God. I trust God more than anybody else, including myself. I trust God. And if today is my day to pass away, all right. I just don't want to die because I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I hope you understand, you can be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And you should make at the beginning of every day, whether that's in the evening or in the morning, your purpose should be that you want to be in the Lord's will. You want to be where God wants you to be. That's the best chance for you to have the best chance at having the best chance. I can tell you that for sure. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works. Greater works. Greater works. Now we could take that one of two ways. Greater works more, or greater works even more intense. I personally believe you could go either way with that. Jesus is our Savior, and he is in the throne room with his Father, the Creator, who calls us his children, and he wants us to call him Father. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. I talked to somebody recently, last week, the week before, that knew Sherry, and she was bragging on Kelly, and she was bragging on Sherry. She says, and my gosh, that Sherry is a whole new person. She's, yeah. And she says, that it is, what's going on over there at your church? Well, come and see. But what a beautiful, beautiful testimony that somebody had of some from our church. They're doing great, and I can see it. That is a wonderful thing. I know each and every one of you. See, I don't see any strangers in here. All of you are doing good things, and you're all trying to do good. You're all trying to do the will of the Father. That's a beautiful thing. So you're going to do greater things than I, because I go. I'm on my way back to my Father, and I'm different than I was when I left. Preaching a message, go and change the world that God gave you. And we will look next at Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. And here, this is where Jesus is asking his disciples, and Peter, he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, well, some say you're Isaiah, some say you're this person or that person. Well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, well, Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. That word Christ in the Greek and Messiah in the Hebrew, it means the same thing, the anointed one, the chosen one, the only one. And Jesus tells him, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, upon this rock, okay, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock was his confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And I will give unto you, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth, now that's each and every one of you. That's each and every one of you that's born again. You have the keys of the kingdom of God. You don't have to wait for a man or woman of God to get up and do something. You can do it. And God, there are things where there are places you can be that one pastor, one person can't be everywhere, but through teaching and loving and encouraging his congregation or her congregation, more people can be. And you have the power, as it says here, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and I will. This was after the resurrection. I'm going to tell you, we can say now, I have given you, each and every one of you, the keys. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that's how it works. And I want to tell you, if nobody's told you today, you have the keys to the kingdom. If you're born again and you consider yourself a child of God, and when you pray, you can call him Father, you have the keys. And you can change this world. And I'm preaching a message. Go change the world that God has given you. And you have a set of those keys. Millie just recently bought a very nice car. And it came with two sets of keys. And I told the world, this set is my set. It's your car. But this set is my set of your car. And look here. You've got a set of the keys of the kingdom. You might have never tried to use them, but I kid you not. You have the keys. You have the power to change inside your realm, inside of your world. I dare you to lay your hands on, pray for somebody in the name of Jesus and tell them, be healed in Jesus' name. I dare you to do that. I started healing people a long time ago, not because I was a minister, but before I was a minister, I was laying hands on people and seeing them heal. Why? Because I was a believer. I knew the word and I believed that the word was so. Now, we've got 10 minutes and I can tell you, we're going to be out of here on time. Let's look at John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you. See, this is not a suggestion or a nice idea. This is a commandment that the Lord has given us. That you love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. With that intensity, with that magnitude, and in that way. By this shall all men know, once again, this is how you change your world. That you are my disciples. If you have love one for another. I think the worst thing that can happen, and it happens too often, is people that are not in church see people in church fighting amongst themselves. We should hide that stuff. We shouldn't let that's not going to edify the world to know that. You don't want to confide that into anybody that's not a Christian. You want to have people that right, say, God, help me that this doesn't happen. By this shall all men, even the people that are in your world that are not saved, will know that you're my disciples because you love one another. You never let anybody hear you talking against somebody in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter where they go to church. If they're born again, that's a tall order. I've been guilty. I have failed there, and I'm not proud of it. But I think I'll help you understand better. I'm not talking down to you. I'm with you. We're all trying to do as good as we can. And I think we can all do better. What do you think? Last place tonight. John, 1 John, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You can live your life in such a way that people will see you overcoming the world and overcoming things that are not right. And that's a good thing. I've just delivered you, and I'm going to end by saying this. Go change the world that God gave you tonight. And let's take communion tonight. We examine our hearts, as the word says in 1 Corinthians 11, for taking communion. And then we eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And if there's anything in our hearts that shouldn't be there, just between you and God, tell the Lord. Confess that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you please make an altar or come to this altar and examine your heart?